It's good.
There we go. So here we are. We're back in the game. It's Adam here, and bloody great to be back here. I'm here with my friend down in London, Grayson. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm very well, mate. It's an absolute privilege and an honour to be back on the Inside Performance podcast.
You know, I was going to say to you right there, it's been so bloody long since I've done a podcast. I actually forgot the name of it there. So thanks for reminding me.
That just came to me as I was speaking. So the human mind and the potential, unbelievable. No, but all jokes aside, it's actually really cool to be back. I guess, you know, like, we love doing these podcasts, and it's something we enjoy doing, and it's really just you and I having a chat as we normally would. But I guess I forgot, like, you know, these do reach people, and people enjoy hearing them, and they find them helpful. And we've had a few people reach out and say, oh, you haven't recorded one for a while, so thank you to those people who have reached out and you've inspired us to have a go. So here we are.
Yeah. It's been long, long overdue. You've probably messaged me about 10 times now. And so it is. It's good to be back and be back in the game having conversations. And I've got to say, you know, it's been nearly a year now since you left me here in Glasgow, and I have been missing the conversations you and I have or would have had in training, you know, in between sessions or maybe sometimes in sessions. You know, and you know, it's bloody good to have these chats and catch up with you
over a call like this. And you know, a lot of people, I guess, ask us about our journey and into understanding. And, mate, we spent hundreds or thousands of hours chatting, just in conversation, back and forth with each other around this understanding. And you know what I've come to realize? Like, that's coaching. Like, we didn't know it, but we were together deepening our understanding. Just in conversation, naturally pointing and curiously looking in this direction and reflecting and challenging and sharing insights. And yeah, so there is a huge power in working alongside someone and sharing and talking. And yeah, you're right, man. I mean, every time we chat, we end up, for example, when we do these podcasts, we chat for about an hour beforehand without even realizing it.
So true. I know.
We should just hit the record from the get-go, but no, we're here now. We'll rip in.
Yeah, let's rip in. So we wanted to, you know, talk kind of more specifically to a few topics on this podcast here. You know, we want to speak to some of the, you could say, challenges that young people may be facing, or, you know, you can look at them differently as well. Maybe not even challenges, but just maybe some of the viewpoints that a lot of our younger generation are sort of caught up in, and sort of, you know, are looking through these lens at these topics. And what we want to really do in this podcast is maybe give a little bit of a different perspective on these topics in relation to, I guess, understanding who and what you are, and really, you know, differentiating away from what we're not and looking towards what we are. And when that happens, you know, seeing how these different areas of our life play out, you know. So the three topics that we're really going to cover, the first one will be relationships or finding love. Now, this is an interesting topic, because, you know, what you often see, and certainly the world that I was caught up in for a long time, was, you know, looking out there in the world to finding a partner, to searching for someone that would provide me with love, You know, it was almost back to front for a long time, and we'll get into that in a bit. But you know, most young people, you know, get to an age, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, and the idea of a partner becomes appealing, and you know, it's something that we want to explore. And you know, maybe, you know, what you and I will talk about here, Grace, is how, you know, we were caught up in that for a long time, and how a change of perspective or really seeing the heart of what we are has changed things for us. So maybe I'll just take this opportunity to pass it on to you, and you can kick off and tell us a little bit about, you know, how it's played out for you.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and I guess one thing for me is that this viewpoint that we're sharing that almost lead to the view that these things are challenges, you know, finding love or finding the right partner is a challenge. We're saying we're relating this to young people because it seems as though this conditioned view becomes more and more, I guess, conditioned within us as we're growing. Because as a young child, as a little baby, you don't need anything to feel love. You know, it's just an expression of who you are. And as we kind of grow and the view of the world and the innocent misunderstandings of what we need to be okay become sort of imprinted into our minds, they keep arising in thought, these stories around that we need things to be happy and free and feel love. So yeah, it's relating to young people, but at the same time, this misunderstanding is playing out, this conditioning is still playing out in adults. Yeah, I guess from my own experience and seeing so many other people and the people I've worked with and young people and teammates and friends and family, it certainly seems as though love comes from someone else. And that viewpoint arises when we believe that all we are is our body, a separate entity whose thoughts and feelings are true and real and what make them who they are. And from this viewpoint, love is caused by something else. Because the viewpoint of the body is that you are in the world of form and that's all you are. So then love is in the world of form. So you find love in another person. Now referring back to what we just spoke to, talking about the little child, the little child doesn't need to find anything to feel love. They go from being free in the moment, playing, loving, to maybe being more caught up and having a little tantrum and crying and getting stuck, and that's normal and fine, and then flowing back into free, loving. And in fact, if you pick up a baby and look at them, like, most people just sense that pure, free love that's shining through them. And all that is an expression of what they truly are. And they just haven't had it veiled with this conditioning, these layers of thoughts that come from this worldview that we're separate and alone and we need things to be okay. So I guess it's a challenge when you view life from the view that you're just the body and you're separate and alone. Because it really seems as though part of your job is to find the right partner to be okay. And I mean, Adam, you and I can relate to this very much. So like, from that viewpoint, It is a challenge because, you know, it's either you either fall into maybe a bit of a numbers game where you're trying, or like it's like you're not quite ready to find one person, but you want to feel love, so you're looking at multiple, like different partners or short-term relationships and things like that to feel kind of fulfilled. So you're always sort of on a pursuit for that feeling of love. Or it might play out that you're just constantly on the search for the right one. And from that viewpoint, I would say it's tough to see the beauty and perfection in someone truly when you're living life from a lens that you need to find the perfect person for you. And I guess in my experience, when we begin to realize who we truly are, that we're not this limited, separate, lone self whose thoughts and feelings are all there, we begin to see and feel and know the love that we truly are, that it's just within us. It's the source of our experience. It's not caused or taken away by anything in the world of form. And it might seem that way in our limited perspective and that ebb and flow of how we're seeing life. Yeah, it's natural for it to seem that way, but it's not the truth. And when we begin to realize that we are okay and we're always enough, just like the way we were born, the little baby is complete. What's funny is relationships start to change. Your view of yourself and what you need starts to shift. And you no longer show up in relationships and meetings and connections and just life with that sense of lack that you need someone else or something to be okay and to feel love. And I'll say more and more, you just shine with the knowing that you're complete. And obviously what we speak about is never aimed at outcomes or results, but you're far more open, your vision, your perspective is open to connect truly. And you see the beauty and perfection in others rather than the limitation which you see from a limited viewpoint, beginning from yourself, that you're projecting onto others. So yeah, I guess that's how I'm sort of seeing that little topic of relationship and the challenge. Big lad, over to you.
Over to me, and I'll give you my little bit on it. But nicely said, I really resonate with what you're saying there. You know, for me, you know, I was caught up for a long time searching from this viewpoint that you've just spoken about of feeling as if you need something to complete you. You know, you look to the world of form to find something that's going to give you that love, that's going to give you that sense of being whole. And it's really subtle. Like, it's so subtle. It's not obvious. No, it's not obvious at all. And I guess for a part of my life, I found myself looking to a relationship in particular to give me that sense of love and wholeness and completeness, and came to the realization that it didn't lie there. And it was great because it taught me well. It taught me very well. And, you know, a few years then passed and, you know, I was again single and, you know, living life and whatnot. And then, you know, as we've spoken about a lot in this, you know, I had a moment of seeing quite clearly who and what I am. And when that happened, it became very clear to me that relationships are not, you know, it's not about finding love. You know, how many people do we know that, you know, there's a lot of people that might talk about the honeymoon phase in a relationship. And, you know, you meet someone and a fall out of your mind or fall out of your own thinking and you feel love. You feel what you are. But in that moment, it seems to you like it's coming from the other person. It seems to you in that moment that it's that you feel this way because of them. That's the mind tricking you. It's the mind tricking you. And it gets 6 months into the relationship, and then all of a sudden, because you have misinterpreted what that is, what that sense of completeness and wholeness and love is, you've attributed it to something that it's not. You know, people get to this sort of 6 month period into a relationship and it's like, oh, you know, I don't feel this way anymore. There must be something wrong with this person. You know, there must be. And of course, that's not to say that there's that it should be all plain sailing and, you know, life should go on and whatnot. But, you know, living from this key misunderstanding that what you are, as you say, Grayson, is a bunch of thoughts and feelings and are a fragment and need to be completed and need to look to the outside world in order to find happiness and contentment and love. From that viewpoint, relationships are going to be a bumpy road, because what you're looking for is never ever coming from there. You know, it's not the source of that love that you feel in wholeness is not, it's not a byproduct of your partner. And I guess, you know, one thing that speaks clearly to me now is that, you know, love is not found in a partner or a relationship. A relationship is an expression of love, and a, you know, an effective relationship is one where one or two of the people within that relationship haven't lost too much sight of that. They haven't lost touch with that a relationship is solely there for each of the two to share and express love, express what they are, not for each one of them to find love. You know, that's not for me the basis of an effective relationship. So that's how I see it, and that's, I guess, a kind of different perspective on, I guess, what most of us are conditioned to believe a relationship should be and how a relationship should make us feel. So yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's a different standpoint.
Mm. One that I love all that you've said there, and I love one point that you sort of made towards the end there, which was the misunderstanding that someone else is causing your love, and it's very. It seems that way in thought, you know, because that's the plane that thought operates on. But what we're saying here is you're not your thoughts. You are the source that they're arising from. You are the awareness, the infinite field, which is made of love. And to know that and to see that that's what you are and that's what your partner is, or that it's one source, allows a lot more understanding in relationships, because from the misunderstanding that someone's causing your love, insecurity arises because they have to be a certain way. And like you said, in that sort of honeymoon phase, whereas all the honeymoon phase really is there's less thought going on of how they need to be or what they need to do to keep you happy. You're just connecting. And when all that thought comes back in, if they're viewed as the cause of love, there's going to be a lot of expectation on how they have to be to maintain that. And that's the misunderstanding that leads to struggle in relationships. And not only in relationships, but struggle, the viewpoint that someone can cause your love leads to a pursuit, a need, that feeling of lack. And it's just an innocent byproduct of falling for the viewpoint that you are limited, that all you are is this body, and that you're separate from the world out there. And we can always touch the knowing of who we are by exploring the backdrop, the awareness that knows all experience. All experiences are changing, coming and going. But the awareness stays the same, and that's where we can begin to see who we truly are. And when you're touching that, you're in the knowing that you're perfect as you are. Mm-hmm. And then let that shine through into the world and just see what unfolds.
I loved what you said in a post the other day that I read that really, really hit me hard. And it was something along the lines of, you know, your thoughts and feelings and experiences are going to be transient, but true peace doesn't come from feeling peace all the time. It comes from understanding that beyond your thoughts and feelings, what you are is peace. So all this stuff can be going on the surface level, but
yeah,
it's the knowing beyond that yeah, who you are is not those. That's where peace is found. Something like that. Correct me if I said it slightly wrong.
No, yeah, definitely. And it is an easy stumbling block, because even if you're on a sort of path of exploration of looking in this direction that we're chatting about, it's easy to think love and peace are a feeling. And yeah, like they can be expressed out into this world as a feeling, and that's beautiful, that's amazing. But the knowing of true peace or love or happiness, whatever you want to call it, can be known even in a feeling or an activity of being down or misery or feeling alone. And that's actually a hugely powerful realization, to see that what we are remains always and constant and untarnished by any activity. And then we can fall into the knowing of our true self, peace and love and happiness, even during that activity ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
If we jump on to topic number two, we might run out of time for three. Should we quickly touch on number two?
Let's touch on number two, but at the same time, we'll keep.
Well, should we just give a little outline of what number two will be, and then we can do that one next time?
Yeah, let's give a little outline. I'll give you 30 of my best, and then you can give 30 of your best. So the next, challenge or pertinent subject that is in young people's life is, you know, the idea of careers and success. And I'll leave you with one thing just before passing on to Grayson, and that would be, you know, what if you are success? What if the fact that you're here right now is success? You know, what if that were true? How would going out into the world and doing what you do and achieving what you want to go and achieve look? How would that look from the standpoint of right now in this moment, without achieving any more than you are right now, or, you know, putting all that you've achieved in the past behind you, putting that aside and seeing in this moment that you are success, how would things look differently? Because what we see is, you know, people think that in order to feel success or in order to feel accomplished and whole, they have to go out into the world and achieve all these things. And if they don't achieve them, often can feel empty. And of course, that's a misunderstanding. So, you know, I'll leave it at that. What you got?
I love it. A little analogy. I was going to say I'll leave it at that, but a little analogy just popped to my mind. It's like, from this innocent misunderstanding that we're limited, that we're not enough as we are, it's almost as though we look at this cup and it's empty, and we think we need to fill it with worldly success, with, you know, the right job, income, luxuries in life. And life seems to become a pursuit to fill this cup up. But from that viewpoint, that what we are is not enough, that the cup is empty, no matter how full the cup gets, the cup just keeps getting taller, never full, you know. And to begin to understand, like you said, that what we are is always enough. How would our activities in life different? How would we play out? How would we show up in the knowing that we're always enough? And I'll just say quickly, it wouldn't be laziness. It would be pure expression, you know, and it would be throwing ourselves in. But I'm not going to say anymore. Started answering the question. We'll leave it at the question. But yeah, that'll be cool. Looking forward to the next, the second part of this, what's turned into a three-part series. It was just going to be one, but probably me again. I talk too much.
It's all good. You sound good. I love what you say.
You too, mate. All love. awesome. Well, it was good to get back into it, mate.
Yeah, that is good. So, you know, it's going to be good news for some of the people that wanted to hear more, because they've got three episodes coming their way now. So, yeah, we look forward to getting into it again. But, you know, great to be back in the game, and we will see you all soon.
Yeah, and just on that also, if anyone has like listened to this and feels that they have anything that they'd like us to sort of point to, and that they would find helpful, feel free to get in touch with us. Our emails are on the bio for the podcast, so yeah, feel free to get in touch, and be cool to try and, you know, get some questions in and help tailor this understanding to where you guys are at. Well, yeah, thanks for listening.
Love it. Speak soon, guys.
Bye-bye. Peace.
Love.